It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 18, start reading from verse 18.
Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Many people get mixed up on this scripture. Whatever you loose on this earth will be loose in heaven. Whatever you bind on this earth, it will be bound in heaven. God is not running heaven by the earth. We have no authority to tell the God, run the heaven like earth. Somebody did the wrong translation. The real translation is, whatever is in heaven bound, you bind that on earth. Whatever loose in heaven, you loose that in earth. Means, do the will of God. And that 19th verse says, two people agree on earth doing the will of God, then God will hear your prayer. You keep on loosing and binding without being a Christian, without living a holy life, it's not going to happen. And we have to make the world like heaven, not the heaven like earth. People want to do whatever is on earth, let it be in heaven. That's not the prayer. What Jesus Christ said, what is in heaven, let it be on earth. What is your will in heaven? That's the will we want to do on earth. And there are so many people now, prophecy teacher and some of the scholars saying, oh, we are going to stay in this earth forever. They got mixed up. Up to now, we prayed to go to heaven. Jesus says, I'm coming to take you to heaven. Everybody's looking forward to going to heaven. And all of a sudden, these people start changing the theology. Why? Because the Jehovah's Witnesses saying, this is the world we are going to live in. So many Jehovah's Witnesses brainwashing some Christians. And some of the Christians say, okay, we go along with you. Doesn't matter, we can live on this earth forever. But that's not the word of God is saying. If you are living on earth and you want to do the will of God, then you agree, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and their will. Means according to their will, I pray, the prayer is answered. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, how can two people walk together until they get agree? Bible says don't walk with somebody who is not agreeing with you. So some people say, oh, I prayed for the sick, I prayed for this, and I prayed for myself many, many times. Nothing worked. What the word of God saying? Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1 and 2, he says, your sin has come between you and God. God's ears are not deaf, his hands are not shortened, but our sin comes in between, so God cannot hear. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 18, starting from verse 20.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Now here also we say, where two or three, two people already agree together, God is going to listen, and the third person comes in a unity. And then three people gather together, God's presence comes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, triune God comes in a unity. Now, there is a saying, two is a company and a three is a crowd. There are one third person. Hey, you are crowding us. Bible says we need a third person. And three people together, much powerful prayer. There is a saying, if you have a thread and three thread together you join, it is difficult to break those thread. So the same way, three people gather together, God's presence comes. He did not say, we have to have 3,000 people's convention, then I'll appear. No. Three people gather together in his name, God's presence will be there. Okay, let's read verse 21.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants.
Now here, Peter comes and asks the questions to Jesus. How many times I should forgive my brother? 7 times? He says 70 times 7. Now somebody would say, why here 70 times 7 you have to forgive somebody? And earlier we watch, if that person doing something wrong, talk to him privately, then take two people and talk, and then bring it to the church and talk, and then cast him out. Why we did not give him chance 70 times 7? Do you know? Why people did not give him 70 times 7 time? And here Jesus Christ saying in the same chapter, you should forgive your brother 70 times 7. Why we cannot forgive that brother and why we can forgive this brother? Do you know? Because the other brother is a stubborn. He is not repenting. He doesn't want to listen to anybody. He says, I'm right and you're wrong. That person you cannot forgive. But here the person says, I'm sorry, brother, I made a mistake. Could you please forgive me? You should forgive. And he comes next week again. If he asks forgiveness, forgive. But if he's stubborn and keep on doing these things and never ask forgiveness, you cannot forgive that person. And then he gives another example. Go ahead.
Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their lord all that was done. And his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Now here, what we're learning here, he gave an example. There is a one man, is a rich man, just think he's a king. He has so many servants. One servant, he had lots of debts, thousands of dollars, or millions of dollars. And the master says, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, get the money, and his debt will be paid. He said, no, 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 please forgive me, I'll pay all your debts. And he almost worshipped the man. He said, okay, I'll let you go. Then he goes on the street, free man. So here comes the person, works for the same man, and he finds him, and he says, hey, you owe me $10, give me right away. He said, the same thing he asked him, forgive me, I'll pay you every penny. He said, no. He hold him through his throat and beat him up and put him in a jail. Say, until every penny you give, I'm not going to let you go. Now he was forgiven millions of dollars, and he could not forgive this man for $10. So another servant means the same man's servant, saw him doing something to his another servant. This another servant who was forgiven, he is treating one of that master's servant. And so he said, okay, bring him here. Now somebody says, you're already forgiven. Now in America, if somebody murderer or somebody and this case came and then they let him go, they don't arrest him for the same crime because then they have to do the another case. So he said, bring that man here. And then he tells him, didn't I forgive you? Why can't you have the same compassion, same love like I showed it to you? Millions of dollars I let it go, and you could not let go $10? Get this man back. Put him in. Now this time did not allow him to just put in the prison. He said, beat him up. Tormentors. He sent some tormentors. means somebody comes with a hunter and start beating. The verse 34. And he beat him up, and now he's wounded and half dead. I'm putting him in prison. Let die there. And then the word of God is saying, likewise. Let's read the verse 35.
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses.
Now, this is so important. We go to church, we ask God to forgive our sins, but we do not forgive others. Mother, father, brother, church member, or any relatives. We keep the grudge for 50 years grudge or 20 years grudge in our mind. The word of God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing. I forgave you, and you don't want to forgive others. I will put you in that big, big hellfire. Because you don't want to forgive others, why should I forgive you? That's what he says. If you don't forgive others, he will not forgive you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15.
For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
If you forgive others, I will forgive. If you don't forgive others, I will punish you. Read Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26.
And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses.
Now hear what he's saying. You are a Christian man. You are a born-again child of God. You go to church and you pray. Or you might be praying in your house. And what you praying? God, give me a good job. Give me a good wife. Give me a good husband. Give me good promotion. Give me. Everything you're asking God. He's saying, when you're standing in front of me, and then if you come to know that you are not forgiven some of the people, that's where the bitterness comes. That's why people have arthritis pain and so many different diseases, and they're trying to get medicine. The one medicine they buy, the another part of their body get destroyed. Then they go to get another medicine, and then some other parts of their body get destroyed, and they keep on destroying their body, getting new medicine in their body. But the simple thing is, ask forgiveness to God and say, I'm sorry. Verse 26.
But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
If you don't do it, I will not forgive you also. Simple thing. You asking forgiveness to God, you tried forgiving other people. You want forgiveness, you forgive others. Otherwise, you are not going to get forgiveness. Okay, Book of Matthew, chapter 19, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coasts of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?
He's coming to the place beyond the Jordan. The great multitude followed him. And the word of God says, and he healed them there. Now you see great multitude following Christ, and when he's praying for those people, he has to be busy. I have seen when I'm praying for people, sometimes it takes whole night of work until the people stop lining up. Now here the people are coming, and Jesus Christ is praying for them. People are getting healed. People are happy. And here comes the Pharisees and asking Jesus Christ a question. And the word of God says, tempting him. Means they just ask the question to just harass him or just try to find out what he says. Is he going against the Mosaic law? Or is he saying according to the law? They just wanted to find out. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Means for any reason. Let's read verse 4.
And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?
Now he's trying to tell them how God created man and what was the God's commandment to the mankind. Let's go to the Genesis chapter 1, starting from verse 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Now he says God created man according to his image, and he created them male and female. Genesis 5:2.
Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created.
Now here the word of God is saying, even the male and female God created them. In the God's eyes and the God's mind, they were all equal. And so he named them Adam. Adam means mankind. In the eyes of God, they were all equal. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
This is the command God gave it to Adam. Husband and wife, they have to leave mother and father's house, get a separate place, and leave. In those days, if they have a bigger house, they might be having single room somewhere as for separate. And so, important thing was, husband and wife should be together, and nobody should interfere in their marriages. And that was the main idea behind it. Go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 5.
And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away?
Now here, Jesus Christ said, this is the way the commandment was. The man and woman should stay together, and no one should separate them. Means no judge, no mother, father, family member, or anybody twisting their mind and telling them to be separate. Then the people start saying, then why Moses gave us the commandment, you can divorce?
He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so.
Because of the hardness of your heart. Just read Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 to 4.
When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and to come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled. For that is abomination before the Lord. Thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance.
See, there was a very strict law. If somebody get married, and the man says, I don't like my wife, she's doing something bad, she's unclean. He said, okay, give her a divorce. I mean, she get divorced, she married somebody else. And if that man says, I don't like you, your previous husband didn't like you, and now I don't like you, I give you a divorce. Then she cannot go back and ask, beg that first husband, can I come back? Or even her second husband dies. She was not allowed to go back to the first husband, because if she does, he said, the whole land will be polluted or the curse would come. And so God was saying to the man also, when you marry to somebody, you should not beat her or do not abuse her. And that was also strict law. Go to the Malachi chapter 2, verse 16.
For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously.
Even though God hates divorce, but at the same time he says, you cannot beat your wife, harass your wife. That is wrong, and we should not be doing that. In New Testament he says, husband and wife, they are one unit, one body, one flesh. If the husband and wife, they want to be separated for some reason, he says only reason was given to be separated for prayer and fasting. You should be united. And if you are fighting in the house, God says, I will not even answer your prayer. That is in 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay, 1 Peter 3, 7. Okay.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
See, in Christianity, the Word of God says there is no male, no female. God gives honor to both equally, just like He made Adam and male and female and named them Adam. So in the eyes of God, man and woman, they are all equal. And once you are in Christ, then we are equal than without Christ. In the Old Testament, they always favor man. If the lady, they caught in prostitute or something doing wrong, and both people, they're supposed to bring, but they will bring only lady, and they beat her up and kill her. And Jesus Christ saw when the lady there brought to him, and they said, we caught her in adultery. Jesus didn't say, where is the man? You bought only the lady. But Jesus didn't say, where is the man and why you bringing lady? Because according to the Jewish law, they will punish the woman. Today also Muslim, they punish the lady, not the man. And so, but that changes in Christ. And so I tell these people, if you're suffering like that, why don't you be a Christian? Find a Christian husband, born again Christian, and your life will be much more better. Here the Word of God says you cannot even separate it. If you have fight or something like that, God will not ever answer your prayer. So God wants unity and togetherness. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9.
And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery.
Now in this verse, if you read, it says, if your wife is going after another man, then you can let her go. But at the same time, it says, if some man marries her, then they both doing adultery. Somebody will say, I don't understand this. This is like this. Just think, one wife is married to one man and they are doing okay. And then she finds out somebody better than him. And then she starts going with him. And she is not telling husband. And husband finds out. And husband says, okay, I give you divorce. You like that man? Go with him. So what happens, even the husband gave her divorce, but still, in the eyes of God, she is doing adultery. Because that's the man she was doing adultery when she was married. Even the husband says, go away. But still, in the eyes of God, she was doing adultery with that man. That's why even though she marries, is adultery. And that's the way only we can understand. Otherwise, if that man was not in her life, the husband was beating her off, and told her, if I'll kill you and this and that, and the lady divorced him, and then she marries to somebody which she didn't have any friendship before she got married with this man, or when she was married, then that's okay. But if she's married and having affair with somebody, and then they divorce the first husband and married to another man which she has friendship before she divorced, that is still adultery in the sight of God. Okay, verse 10.
His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry.
Now the people got scared. He said, if that's the way it is, we should not get married. And so what Jesus Christ say?
But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given.
Yeah, some people, they think it is not good to get married, and in this 21st century, what they chosen, I don't want to get married with wife, but I will have another partner. So I don't have to get married, I will not have a children, and the ladies decided the same thing. And so they are thinking, we are not getting married, we are not producing children, but that is not the will of God either. But Jesus Christ is saying, if some man decided not to get married, it is not easy because the temptation will be there. And so he says there are three kinds of people, Matthew 19:12.
For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake.
Now he said there are three kinds of people. One are born defectively, they cannot produce children, or they cannot get married. And another group of people, people make them. Now somebody says, how the people make somebody, they cannot have children. In the olden days, when they have kings, and if they keep any servants in their house, they will make them eunuch, means they cannot have sex with anybody in the kingdom, and people will be man-made eunuchs. Most of the time in a rich people's house or king's house, people work or cooking or doing some work, they used to make them eunuchs. And then some of them became eunuch, means not getting married or not having any desire, just like Catholic priests. This is what Jesus Christ said, but he says it's not easy because some people take the form of this kind of thing, means, oh, I'm eunuch, I will not have a wife. Many people are not specially dedicated. They just got into there with a sinful desire in their heart from the beginning. And so the Word of God says, this is only God-given gift for some people. They can live without wives. Okay, verse 13, Matthew 19:13.
Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them.
Children coming to Jesus Christ. Jesus loved the children, and children used to come to Jesus, and he used to even have like a Sunday school kind of thing. Children like Jesus Christ because he was loving and kind. You can look at his eyes and you feel love. And so children wanted to come. But the disciples start thinking these children are disturbing the service or disturbing the work what Jesus Christ is doing. So they said, oh, don't bring the children. But the parent says, we are bringing the children so Jesus Christ can take them in his hands and lay his hands on them and pray. But they said, no, Jesus Christ saw that and he answered them. Read verse 14.
But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.
Now see, in these two verses, if you just think about, first verse says Jesus wanted to bless them and lay hand and just pray for them. And the second verse says they belong to kingdom of God anyhow. It is not in the Bible they should be baptizing, and Jesus only blessed them because they belong to the kingdom of God. But they start doing circumcision equivalent to baptism. And then I made some of the scholars and I told them, if you're doing the circumcision changing to baptism for the little babies, how about the little girls? Why are you baptizing little girl? Because in Mosaic law, they did not do circumcision for the girls. And then they don't have answer.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.